Pollyanna by Eleanor Porter. Chapter 1. Miss Polly Harrington entered her kitchen a little hurriedly this June morning. Nancy, washing dishes at the sink, looked up in surprise. Nancy had been working in Miss Polly's kitchen for 2 months only, but she knew already that her mistress did not usually hurry. "Nancy?"
"Yes, madam,"
Nancy answered cheerfully, wiping the pitcher in her hand. "Nancy," Miss Polly's voice was very stern now, "when I'm talking to you, I want you to stop your work and listen to what I have to say." Nancy flushed and set the pitcher down at once, with the cloth still about it, thereby nearly tipping it over.
"Yes, madam, I will, madam," she stammered, turning hastily. "I was only keeping on with my work because you told me this morning to hurry with my dishes."
Her mistress frowned. "That will do, Nancy. I did not ask for explanations. I asked for your attention."
"Yes, madam," Nancy stifled a sigh. She was wondering if ever, in any way, she could please this woman.
Nancy had never worked out before, but her sick mother, suddenly widowed, and left with 3 younger children, besides Nancy herself, had forced the girl into doing something to support them. Nancy had been so pleased when she found a place in the kitchen of the great house on the hill. She knew Miss Polly Harrington only as the mistress of the old Harrington homestead and one of the wealthiest residents of the town. That was 2 months before. Now she knew Miss Polly as a stern, severe-faced woman who frowned if a knife clattered to the floor or if a door banged, but who never thought to smile even when knives and doors were still. "When you finished your morning work, Nancy," Miss Polly was saying now, "you may clear the little room in the attic and make up the bed. Sweep the room and clean it, of course, after you clear out the trunks and boxes. My niece, Miss Pollyanna Whittier, is coming to live with me. She is 11 years old and will sleep in that room."
"A little girl is coming here, Miss Harrington. Oh, won't that be nice?" cried Nancy, thinking of the sunshine her own little sisters made in their home.
"Nice? Well, that isn't exactly the word I would use," rejoined Miss Polly stiffly. "However, I intend to make the best of it, of course. I am a good woman, I hope, and I know my duty."
Nancy colored hotly.
"Of course, madam. It was only that I thought a little girl here might brighten things up for you," she faltered.
"Thank you," rejoined the lady dryly. "I can't say, however, that I see any need for that."
"But of course you'd want her, your sister's child," ventured Nancy, vaguely feeling that somehow she must prepare a welcome for this lonely little stranger.
Miss Polly lifted her chin haughtily.
"Well, really, Nancy, just because I happen to have a sister who was silly enough to marry and bring unnecessary children into a world that was already full enough, I don't think I should want to take the care of them myself. However, as I said before, I hope I know my duty. See that you clean the corners, Nancy," she finished sharply as she left the room.
"Yes, madam," sighed Nancy.
In her own room, Miss Polly took out once more the letter, which she had received 2 days before, from the faraway western town, and which had been an unpleasant surprise to her. The letter was addressed to Miss Polly Harrington, Beldingsville, Vermont, and it read as follows. "Dear Madam, I regret to inform you that the Reverend John Whittier died 2 weeks ago, leaving one child, a girl, 11 years old. He left practically nothing else but a few books, for as you know, he was the pastor of this small mission church and had a very meager salary. I believe he was your deceased sister's husband, but he gave me to understand the families were not on the best of terms. He thought, however, that for your sister's sake, you might wish to take the child and bring her up among her own people in the East. Hence, I am writing to you. The little girl will be ready to start by the time you get this letter, and if you can take her, we would appreciate it very much if you would write that she might come at once. There is a man and his wife here who are going east very soon, and they would take her with them to Boston and put her on the Beldingsville train. Of course, you would be notified what day and train to expect Pollyanna on. Hoping to hear favorably from you soon, I remain, respectfully yours, Jeremiah O. White. With a frown, Miss Polly folded the letter and tucked it into its envelope. She had answered it the day before, and she had said she would take the child, of course. She hoped she knew her duty well enough, no matter how disagreeable the task was. Her thoughts went back to her sister Jenny, who had been this child's mother, and to the time when Jenny, as a girl of 20, had insisted upon marrying the young minister, in spite of her family's remonstrance. There had been a man of wealth who had wanted her, and the family had much preferred him to the minister, but Jenny had not. The man of wealth had more years, as well as more money to his credit, while the minister had only a young head full of ideals and enthusiasm, and a heart full of love. Jenny had preferred him, quite naturally, perhaps, so she had married the minister, and had gone south with him. The break had come then. Miss Polly remembered it well, though she had been a girl of 15 at the time. The family had learnt that Jenny had named her last baby Pollyanna for her two sisters, Polly and Anna. The other babies had all died. This had been the last time that Jenny had written, and a few years later, there had come the news of her death, told in a short but heartbroken little note from the minister himself. Miss Polly was 40 now and quite alone in the world. Father, mother, sisters, all were dead. For years now, she had been the sole mistress of the house and of the thousands left her by her father. There were people who had openly pitied her lonely life and who had urged her to have some friend or companion to live with her. But she had not welcomed either their sympathy or their advice. She was not lonely, she said. She liked being by herself. She preferred quiet. But now... Miss Polly was glad, of course, that she was a good woman, and that she not only knew her duty, but had sufficient strength of character to perform it. But Pollyanna, what a ridiculous name! In the little attic room, Nancy swept and scrubbed vigorously, paying particular attention to the corners. The vigor she put into her work was a relief to her feelings. Nancy, in spite of her frightened submission to her mistress, was no saint. "I just wish I could dig out the corners of her soul," she muttered jerkily, punctuating her words with murderous jabs of her pointed cleaning stick. When her task was finished, she looked about the bare little room in plain disgust. "Well, it's done. My part, anyhow," she sighed. "There's no dirt here. Poor little soul. A pretty place this is to put a homesick, lonesome child into." She finished going out and closing the door with a bang. In the garden that afternoon, Nancy found a few minutes to talk to old Tom, who had pulled the weeds and shoveled the paths about the place for uncounted years. "Mr. Tom," began Nancy, throwing a quick glance over her shoulder to make sure she was unobserved, "did you know a little girl was coming here to live with Miss Polly?" The man's jaw fell, and then a tender light came into his faded eyes. "Why, Nancy, it must be Miss Jenny's little girl," he muttered. "Who was Miss Jenny?" "She was an angel straight out of heaven," breathed the man. "She was 20 when she married and went away from here many years ago. Her babies all died, I heard, except the last one, and that must be the one who is coming." "She's 11 years old and she's going to sleep in the attic," scolded Nancy, with another glance over her shoulder toward the house behind her. Old Tom frowned. The next moment a curious smile curved his lips. "I'm wondering what Miss Polly will do with a child in the house," he said. "Humph,
Well, I'm wondering what a child will do with Miss Polly in the house, snapped Nancy. The old man laughed. I'm afraid you aren't fond of Miss Polly, he grinned. I guess maybe you didn't know about Miss Polly's love affair. The fellow is living today right in this town. Who is he? I can't tell you that. In Tom's dim blue eyes, there was the loyal servant's honest pride in the family he has served and loved for long years. But it doesn't seem possible, her and a lover, still maintained Nancy. You didn't know Miss Polly as I did, Tom argued. She used to be handsome, and she would be now if she'd let herself be. And she isn't old, Nancy. Nancy, called a sharp voice. Yes, madam, stammered Nancy, and hurried toward the house.